Hello, everybody, and welcome to 30 Minute Thrive, your go-to podcast for anything and everything HR, powered by MRA, the Management Association. Looking to stay on top of the ever-changing world of HR? MRA has got you covered. We'll be the first to tell you what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Sophie Voller, and we are so glad you're here. Now, it's time to thrive. Well, welcome, everybody. We are so glad you're here, and I hope you're ready to talk generations today, specifically on one that you may have never heard before. So never before, there have been five generations in the workforce. And each generation, as you know, has their own quirks, styles, likes, dislikes, ways to work, communicate, and even learn. So in this podcast episode specifically, we're going to be focusing on the newest generation joining us in the workplace, and that is Generation Alpha. So it looks like Gen Alpha is the group of generation following Generation Z. So Gen Alphas are born in the early 2010s going through the early 2020s. So we know in our finding that each generation brings something really unique to the table. So Amanda Mosteller, MRA's Director of Talent Development, is joining me today to talk about how Gen Alpha, how you should really update your L&D strategy to include these Gen Alpha learners. Make sure to stay tuned throughout the episode, and we'll tell you how you can win a podcast swag item at the end. Just an exciting little note there. Mm-hmm. But Amanda, we now know who Gen Alphas are, but really my first question to you is, why is it essential for organizations to now adapt their training and development strategies for this generation?
When I think about Gen Alpha, I have this case study across the hall, and it's my kids. They were born in 2010. We all went through this interesting thing. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called a global pandemic. And that pandemic expedited lots of things for all generations. One of the things that expedited for Gen Alpha that is different than other generations is integrated learning in school. So I'm not talking about adult learning theory principles versus child learning theory principles. We're not going into andragogy versus pedagogy here, but what we are going to talk about is being used to what the source of knowledge plays the part in for these kids. So in most of Gen Alpha was fourth grade or younger when the pandemic hit. Prior to that, teachers in the classroom did a lot of teaching to the whole group from the front, doing activities, walking around and helping. They weren't putting elementary school kids into these Google Class type structures at such a young age. They were doing that more in high school and certainly in college. But the pandemic launched and expedited putting kids at younger ages into these platforms to learn things. What that has done is changed their expectation of what the knowledge expert in the room's function is and how they learn. So Gen Z would have started doing that in college, mostly. Older Gen Z, it wasn't until college. Younger Gen Z, maybe in high school some. Certainly not in elementary school, but now it's embedded in elementary school from like third and fourth grade on, because the schools put money into these platforms. They have licenses. They might as well use them, right? So the reason it's important for us to think about is because a lot of organizations are still hanging on to e-learning or instructor-led training, possibly blended where we do some e-learning pre-class and post-class, but that's as diverse as we're getting in our strategy. But Gen Z is looking for something different, and Gen Alpha won't even understand it. They're going to say, why on earth are you doing it this way? That's not what the source of truth does. That's not their role in my learning. So it's time now, because we have 4 years before they'll be the oldest part of that generation, to your point, of the early 2010s. My kids are born in 2010, and depending on which sociologist time range you look at, 2010, somewhere between there and 2012, is Gen Alpha. So They're halfway through eighth grade, everybody. It's, you know, 4 years until they are eligible for full-time work. And so we have 4 years to really look at how we deliver training now, recognize how it might not even be meeting Gen Z, and really not diversified in our strategy to meet Gen Alpha. So that's why now's the time to be thinking about this.
Well, absolutely. And I know you kind of touched on some of these points, but I'm interested in knowing some of the key characteristics and really preferences of Gen Alpha when it comes to learning and development.
Yeah, they're wanting more and more for the knowledge expert to be their guide to where to find the information and to bounce ideas and discussion off of to make sure that they're understanding it. But they're not looking for the instructor or the facilitator or for the learning strategy to be a source of truth, teaching it to them in a classroom or via an e-learning. Lengthy e-learnings, overproduced e-learnings, or they check out of. They're not looking for that. What they're looking for is, and I'm going to age myself here. My generation might remember, and maybe you remember, Sophie, the Choose Your Path books. So you would read a book and you would get to a page and they would say, okay, you can choose to walk into the scary woods or turn around and go back. If you choose to walk into the woods, turn to page 37. If you choose to go back, turn to page 46. And then you would go read if you essentially like made it to the next stage or something horrible. Usually it was a creepy book. It was usually something that ends the story for you and you have to go back and choose the other way. But younger Gen Zs and Gen Alpha, they're looking for that kind of choose my path in learning. And I don't mean my career path. I mean how I want to learn, how I want information delivered to me, what helps for me, and let me make those choices. Let me control that. And the knowledge experts are their guide in how to find that information, what might be helpful. They might come back and say, you know, I was watching this short video, or I was reading that blog you had, the internal blog you have, and I want to talk to you about this because I'm trying to understand this concept and how it works in my role. That's what they're looking for. They want guidance. They don't want to have to rely on the person to come on Tuesday from 8 to 4 and tell them, because they're in class now in school. My kids, for example, are being shown where all the resources are to find the information within like the first 10 minutes of a new subject. And then they might have 3 days where they're meeting all different kinds of things all on their own. It's all through 90 million different platforms that I have to try and follow to make sure they're doing their homework. But that's what they're used to. Their teachers are learning partners now. They're not the single source of truth. So that's what they're expecting. Mm-hmm. If they come in to a learning strategy of you go to these classes during the first week, and then after your first 30 days, you go to these classes every Monday, and then you have these e-learnings to finish between 30 and 60 days. And look how diverse we are, because we do some in class and some online. And they would be like, is there an article about that? Is there something I can go find that without having to do either of those?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I know we talked about that Gen Z is similar to Gen Alpha in a lot of ways, but mm-hmm. what would make this new generation Alpha different from Gen Z and how they choose their content and how that content is really delivered?
Yeah, a couple of key differences. One is, I mentioned it kind of in the beginning of our chat, for Gen Z, the source of truth being the guide and lots of resources, and we don't come to a room 5 days a week for this. We do it in lots of ways. That really kicked off for older Gen Zs. We're talking college, like that just didn't happen until college. For younger Gen Zs, sort of in high school. And the difference, like I was mentioning in Gen Alpha, we're talking elementary school now. They're doing this as they learn how to learn, which I think is really important for us to recognize. These are the shaping years where they learn how to learn. I'm teaching my kids how to study. I am teaching them what deadlines mean and how you get homework done in a certain time. A lot of our kids, depending on your districts and stuff, but they don't possibly do homework not until they're kind of older. So deadlines and turning things in on a certain time for my kids over the past couple of years has been like, that is in and of itself something I'm teaching them the importance of. Even that is negotiable at my son's school. There's a time that it's due, and then the teachers will say, hey, it's missing. Mm-hmm. And then he'll have like 2 weeks to go, oh, and go get that finished and turned in, and he gets full grades for it. It's throwing me off. But that's one key difference, is this is happening much younger than the other generations. And for the other generations, it was just kind of nice and part of being an adult now. And for Gen Alpha, it's shaping how they learn, because this is what's happening at these stages of their life. The second key difference is everyone talks about, you know, TikTok or YouTube Shorts or these types of things, less produced,
yeah,
shorter snippets, much more authentic, much easier to connect to the person. For Gen Alpha, that is part of everyday everything, including, now they are not going to TikTok in school, I don't think. I don't think
hopefully
teachers,
not.
Right? I don't think teachers are saying this, but they have, you know, as he's watched, my son will, they'll be introducing a new history thing, and his teachers will have copied and embedded in their discussion boards these really short little, yeah, like YouTube Shorts kind of videos of somebody with their phone introducing a topic, and they might have do cutaways to different scenes from a movie or something, right? Mm-hmm. Very much like that. Gen Z, while they are totally on the TikTok train and Facebook is for old people and all of that jazz, they're more the YouTube generation, actually. They're more younger millennials, and Gen Zs are more into the YouTube source, which, while still my own video system, still accepting of green screens, still accepting of that kind of sort of produced, not overly produced, but that's kind of okay. Younger Gen Zs, and certainly as you get into Gen Alphas, as I try to show my son really neat produced, created videos, he completely checks out and walks away. Mm-hmm. If I pull up something that someone did with their phone, he's like sucked in.
Yes.
It's going to change how we create that video content, I think, and where organizations invest their learning strategy dollars to create some on-demand content. What does that need to look like? Does it need to be as fanciful as we make it? I don't know that it does.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like they want the content that looks like a not an overthought of or overproduced, like you said, TikTok, like, mm-hmm, something that they can relate to, and they can relate to a TikTok of someone who just pulled out their phone and started talking and showing them how to do something, but they might not necessarily be able to relate to someone who's put together a whole production with, like you said, a longer video showing you how to do something. So I totally understand that and get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned that organizations do need to start thinking about this now, and they have a few years now to start kind of rethinking their strategy. So going off of that, what is really a primary difference in how an organization's development strategy currently would want to consider adjusting to integrate this next generation learner?
Well, and I love that you use the phrase integrate, because what I would never encourage an organization to do is pivot to meet that generation and completely exclude the fact that, as you said in our opener, there are four other generations in the workforce still here.
Just adding one.
Right? We're bringing in some new folks that don't learn at all the way they're looking to learn, and the way Gen X is looking to learn, and how we're used to it. I should say it's not even looking to learn. It's what we're used to and therefore comfortable with. Polar opposites, right? But Gen X is still there. Elder millennials like myself, we're still here. Baby boomers are still there. Mm-hmm. And on boards, at least, you know, the traditionalist generation, my father, mm-hmm. that man would be on a board. It would be terrifying, but he would be on board. They're still around, right? So how are we, what I have seen success in and what I'm encouraging organizations to do is integrate strategies that will include that next generation while not throwing the baby out with the bathwater and getting rid of your existing strategies that include the generations that are still within our workforce. Mm-hmm. That what we need to do, and I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a young lady newer into the industry, newer into the work career field, and she and I were talking about this topic actually. And she said, I just wish that organizations would give options. So I don't want to go to this leaders program. She's brand new to the organization. So we're talking new hire, kind of get to know the organization program where you've created this schedule and I go do all of these things at these times. What I would love to do for me is have my resource person that is like my guide in how I learn. And then we offer this information in this class on these days, if that's of interest. We do have some short video options to go over the same information, and you can talk with your manager in between. We have some great talking point guides at the end of each video, and you could do it that way. We also have these articles over here if you want to read them and kind of learn about our culture that way and talk to your manager. So why I referenced that Choose Your Path book when we first started chatting is because that's what started blinking in my head while she was talking is, oh my gosh, we could deliver the same information in a multitude of ways. Mm-hmm. And to be inclusive of all generations, let your learners choose their learning path. Let them decide what makes sense for how they like to get information and who are their sources of truth to help them connect it all together. We do need that, you know, administrative control and understanding that you are learning this stuff, that we are making sure you're walking away with what we want you to walk away with. But the concept that it has to be built by a learning strategist or built and led by an instructor to accomplish that would be outdated thinking. I think there are other ways that we could provide it, because what we're talking about makes sense for ABC learner, what others might be talking about makes sense for DEF learner. Mm-hmm. And we need to help learners A through Z. Yeah. So don't get rid of the content you have. Take the time now to look at all the content that you've identified as an organization is important for us to develop our employees on or in. How can I take this instructor-led class or this 30-minute e-learning and distill it into something different? Can we create blogs? Do we have podcast recording approaches? They're all internal. They're in a bank, a resource bank, and they can go in and click on, you know, episode one, episode two, episode three, and they have a week to listen to them all. And that's how they, that would be great for them. And then at the end of each podcast episode, you say, okay, so we encourage you between now and when you listen to your next episode to talk to your manager about, and then you put in those three talking points. Mm-hmm. And then they would go chat with their manager, and the manager knows what they are, and just same information delivered in a multitude of ways, and let the learner own what makes the most sense for them. That's what adapting to include these other generations should look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all great points and great ideas. You think of the choose your path or choose your pathway, and I just immediately think of the TikTok sound, choose your fighter. Like, that just comes up in my head.
You know where that comes from, right?
Where is that from? Choose your fighter. And I can like picture the sound and everything.
Mortal Kombat.
Okay, there it is.
A video game.
There's a Gen Z statement for you.
That was fantastic. I loved it. But yes, that's what we're talking about.
Well, moving on here, the phrase authenticity often comes up with when we hear about the next generation learner. Mm-hmm. So what does this really mean in terms of content development in curation.
Mm-hmm. So I was mentioning, you know, they get disengaged with overly produced stuff, talking about what in the industry we often call the happy path, where in training class, we talk about the perfect. This is the perfect scenario. And here's how you would do this. And then you would do this. And then they will respond this way. And then you would do this. And everybody's happy. Conflict resolved. And what folks are looking for in terms of authenticity is tell me what it really looks like. How does it really go? Mm-hmm. And can you not look perfect while you explain this to me? Yeah. And can you not be in front of some green screened? I don't mean our beautiful logoed backgrounds. I mean, in these trainings, they're like these green screened, amazing modern corporate offices that, you know, they're not actually standing in, because, you know, very few offices actually look like that in the world. And all of those layers together make the whole learning disingenuous, and they tune out because this person has no concept of what it's really like, or this person doesn't speak my language and I can't connect with them. What they're looking for is, and I call them selfie videos. Like, I could hold my phone up,
yes,
do a chat, a 5-minute chat or less on the 6 behaviors, adaptive leadership behaviors, and then say, try this when next time you want to be direct, try this when you want to flex into coaching. And that feels more real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing there, I'm a person, I'm not in the most perfect setting, and I'm having a quick conversation with you about what it looks like and how it works. And that feels more real. I am a leadership coach, so it makes more sense that I would talk about that. It would make no sense if I made a video about marketing strategy. I don't do that. But having a marketing person pop on and say, marketing hot tip of the week, and they know who they are because they're in their organization, it just is a quick hit. And it's one of them. It's one of my team members. It's a person I know in a space that I feel like if I walked up to their desk, they would say it to me in that exact same way.
Yep.
And that's authenticity.
Yes. And I can relate to that, even, you know, being a younger employee, like that's the type of learning that I want too, or that I want to see. So
see, preach it, Sophie, get in there. I'll just interview you. You tell me what you want.
Exactly.
So yeah, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you are 100% on, right on. Well, we've been bringing up phones a lot and TikTok and all this stuff. So we've got to bring up technology at some point. So how has really technology shaped the way that Gen Alpha learns, and what role should other digital tools play in these modern training programs?
I mean, Google Classroom is part of elementary school. Google Classroom becomes, all of them have like an online platform. All of the kids have Chromebooks instead of books. Not all of the kids. Most of the kids' schools have that by junior high. My son had that by 7th grade. But up through 6th grade, a lot of stuff was done on these interactive whiteboards in the room or something like that. Now, I know every district is different. I know every private school versus public school, and all of it can look different. My son goes to public school. It can all look different, but all of the districts are using these platforms for where the content is held. So he'll go to a platform, and then there's, I kid you not, 12 different apps that he would be clicking in and out of to get his classwork done. His math class alone has 3 apps that he uses. The only class that feels even remotely like how I used to learn is his social studies class. And that's because they only have 1 app they use. I didn't have any apps, but like, that's how he expects to go find content. And he finds it on his own, with the teacher being the guide of, here's the things I want you to accomplish today. Here's some resources to do it. His English teacher is teaching them how to use ChatGPT. Coming into an organization when he gets into full-time work that doesn't even use any type of technology like that in any way, would feel very weird to him because he will at that point have been using it for 5 years in school, you know? So they're looking for a source. They're looking for, I always say, you just have a pond and the teacher tells you what to fish for and you go fish for it, which makes no sense to him. And he tells me he doesn't fish. But the point being, that's how it's being done, right? And we have these technologies in our organizations right now. So many organizations have some sort of collaborative tool they use, whether it's Teams, whether it is WebEx Teams. So there's Microsoft Teams, there's WebEx Teams, whether it is even Google Slack or Google Hangouts, right? Some free version of a tool to collaborate. Organizations are doing that. It used to be colleges used Blackboard, right? Mm-hmm. And that was, again, pre-me. I did the Dewey Decimal System and I went to the library, but there was Blackboard and that was kind of it. And it was in college. Now we're talking just how I get my science work done in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So we have these capabilities in our organizations right now. We don't think of using them. Not every organization, I should say. I have some of our members that do, but not every organization thinks about how do we use this as part of our learning strategy and not just as part of our collaboration tool.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think you can do this utilizing a lot of tools that you have at your disposal, and you should utilize all of them. Because remember, I'm talking about creating a learning path, not pivoting, integrating.
Mm-hmm. And I would say going off of that, then follow-up question to that is, do you have or have you seen any organizations that have already started to kind of tailor their mm-hmm. or integrate their training and development programs for Gen Alpha already?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple of members, and it's interesting. They're in the one is in the HVAC space. So they started doing this not for Gen Alpha, but because a lot of their team members are in their vans and on the road. So they're not, you can't do a HRIS system e-learning because we don't give them computers. And yes, we all have mobile learning, but if you look at mobile learning and LMS or learning management system platforms that are mobile enabled, it's the same video on a smaller screen. That's the only difference. It isn't completely redone for your phone. It's still a video and you still might have quiz questions that pop up in between, and you just are doing it on a smaller screen. So it's not actually redone for mobile. So it wasn't really working for them. So they started creating these things because they did have certain pieces of content that were hands-on. And so you have to come to the warehouse to do it. But we offer it a multitude of times because of schedules. So I might have an installation scheduled that day, and we can't stop all installations as a business. We aren't going to do that. That's silly. So we'll offer it in multiple times to fit your schedule. So people were starting to choose their own path already based on that. That works for me. And then they all had teams. And so they started creating teams channels for content. Mm-hmm. There are just, and you create a channel. Here's a lot of ways this can benefit a learning strategy. One, it's a mobile. You can install Teams on your phone, right? When you have a channel that you belong to, let's say new employee channel or emerging leaders channel or customer service channel. And it's not us talking with the members. It's learning how to be great at our customer services. We're at their homes and we're doing these installations. What happens is they get added to the channel because they either say they want to or everybody does for the first year, whichever their strategy is. The channel has a chat. So they would have ongoing discussions all the time in the moment coaching with the guide there, but they also have their cohort of learners of other people. So like just dealt with this situation, you know, not knowing if I did it right, what's your opinion, and the group's chatting about it. Then another tab for the channel says files, and they would have procedures, FAQs, all kinds of sources of information there for them. They also could have videos in that file. And there's a lot of different apps you can add on to any Teams channel. So they would have all these different things, including a scheduler, so that if they did have in-person classes coming up on this topic, and it was something that you feel like you needed more help in, you could go to the scheduler, click it, it linked to the LMS to register so you can track, right? Because I said, you still gotta have some sort of tracking system to this stuff. And people that wanted to go to the in-person class, and they would have the multiple sessions and they would click it and they would come, but you didn't have to. And some people, the way the SOPs, some videos in the chat function worked for them. And they didn't do it for that generation, but I told them, I said, well, you're in luck. You're already set up. Thumbs up.
And an early start.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they did a lot of they would reach into the chat channel and say, hey, we're looking to update our videos. Anybody want to come? So to that authenticity point, they were just shooting them with their own, I don't know if it was their phones, probably a little bit fancier, but their own like handheld videos with volunteers of team members. So people are showing up. We're not producing. We knocked it out in an hour. And then within like a half hour, it was up and in the Teams channel on that subject. So using Teams, not just for a collaborative tool, but as a development piece of the strategy. And they just did it beautifully. I was like, you're good. High five.
Oh, that's a great example of a good success story. So I'm glad to hear that. I do also want to reiterate the point I know we talked about, but that there are also other generations in the workplace simultaneously. So can you just kind of reiterate the point or talk about how this strategic adjustment or integration, what that really means for those learners of different generations?
Yes. And you used the pivotal word again, integration, right? Don't throw out what you already have. Just use it. You already have a strategy that has identified important information that you as an organization agree you should invest your time and energy into developing your people on. Because whatever learning strategy you have that involves a person coordinating it, people spending time outside of their daily work to learn it, means you as an organization have determined it's worth the time investment and possibly, depending on what it is, the financial investment. So don't get rid of any of that. It's saying, how can we also deliver that in potentially more of a choose your own path kind of way? Can we take that information and what are the exercises that for someone that doesn't need to or want to go to a learning for a workshop approach, we can take out and still give them that information. And it's more of like an article kind of thing to read. And then instead of exercises, we finish it with those talking points that you go chat with your manager about. Don't expect people to read it and retain it. You have to kind of let the manager know they've read this. They want to talk about these points, about how I integrated into my job role, da, 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 da. Other people might go to the class on the same content. But it's taking what already exists because it's been determined as important and then spending some energy in providing it in some different ways so that as other generations and other learner preferences, you also might find I don't want to assume that there aren't, you know, my mom, she's a boomer. She's a boomer. She's like the first year of the baby boomer. But she and I talk about it and she's like, man, there was a lot of stuff. I would sit through class and think this could have been like a quick just walk by my cube and tell me and I would have been fine. She's a mathematician and an engineer woman. So most things she felt could have been handled through a quick conversation. But so you might be surprised as to who you see take advantage of more of that self-guided, not even just self-paced, self-guided learning strategy.
No, that's a good point to just mention that some Gen Zers or Gen Alphas may not all like the same approach or they might not learn all the same way. So that's a good point to bring up. But kind of wrapping up here, I know we talked about a lot today, but do you have three main takeaways that our listeners can kind of walk away with in terms of how they can really start integrating learning and development strategies for Gen Alpha learners.
Absolutely. Stop throwing so much money into production for any of your video stuff. You don't have to. So more authentic content that feels more real. So embrace the fact that you might be talking about the happy path and spend time talking about reality. Don't get rid of what you have. Diversify how someone can access the information shared in what you have. And the third one, and this is going to be the hardest for any organization, potentially. It was the hardest for me. And I like to think I'm pretty progressive in my learning views. Embrace empowering the learner. I'll say that one again. Embrace empowering the learner. Sophie knows how Sophie would like information shared best. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Only Sophie knows that. So to that diversifying, then let Sophie choose. Here's the things I need you to know. I need you 30, 60, 90 to know it. Here's the different ways you can learn it. Let's sit down. And myself as the learnings leader person or whatever, right? The trainer assigned to you, your Sherpa through your learning guide.
Mm-hmm.
As we sit down, let's map it out. What makes the most sense for you? And you might be like, that one seems kind of hard. I think that one I would like to go to a class on. I'm pretty good at that. And this is embracing adult learning theory. This is my whole career. We hire experts and then we train them how to do it. Steve Jobs is like, that is so ridiculous. And I agree with the man. If you're a marketing expert, I'm not going to train you on like how to market on social. Come take our social media marketing. Sophie, who's done social media marketing for forever, not going to do that. So you might be like, I just want to read your policies on that. I'm good. You know, let sit you down with the options, let you choose it.
That's a great, great ending point here. And some great action steps that our listeners can, you know, start implementing today even, or start at least thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you just heard from Emre, subject matter expert on educating Gen Alpha, but to our listeners, we also want to hear from you. So we're curious to know what you're doing to kind of revamp your training programs for the next generation. And so we are giving out one of our new podcast merch swag items. So we're encouraging you to send in your comments on this question for a chance to win that podcast souvenir. You'll want it. I have one and I love it.
I want one. So can I comment?
I'll give you one. But otherwise, thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Amanda, for all that great information. And as always, don't forget to check out the resources in the show notes below on MRA membership and resources on this specific episode. So hope you have a great day and we will see you next week.
And that wraps up our content for this episode. Be sure to reference the show notes where you can sign up to connect for more podcast updates. Check out other MRA episodes on your favorite podcast platform. And as always, make sure to follow MRA's 30-Minute Thrive so you don't miss out. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Wednesday to carry on the HR conversation.